Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the president of the Rhode Island Senate, Teresa Piva-Weed. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Rhode Island's second largest hospital chain, Care New England, is facing serious financial challenges. The fallout from this can be seen in cuts at Memorial Hospital in Pawtucket. Some people might say it's just a reality that Rhode Island has too many hospital beds, but with services and hospital beds being reduced in Rhode Island, are patients being adequately protected? Madam President, what would you say?
I believe that in Rhode Island, we have the reverse certificate of need process, which will address many of the issues that are being raised as to whether or not Miriam or Roger Williams or Landmark have the capacity to address the services that are not being addressed in Memorial. Certainly, I've met with the senators, I've met with doctors that have served there, I've listened to folks, they're going through the process, but there is a real concern with the closing, and I was saddened, as we all were, with the closing of a community hospital, the birthing centers, the surgical unit. There are issues which I believe absolutely need to be addressed, such as transportation for the residents of Central Falls and Pawtucket. One thing I've learned through this process is how many of their patients actually walk there and how difficult it is for them to find transportation.
Let's go to Maureen. Seems as if Rhode Island's poorest residents might be the ones who are most vulnerable when a hospital downsizes. Do you think there are adequate safeguards in place?
I think we have to work on that. I think the basic issue here in looking at the larger picture is there is a complete new paradigm when it comes to health care in Rhode Island. We know from Medicaid, for example, that there's been a complete shift in where the services are and how people are being served. And we also know that looking at it, we seem to be saving money and we seem to be delivering good care. But of course, there's pushbacks. Of course, there's going to be pitfalls in terms of making this transition. So we have to be vigilant about taking care of the people that Madam President is talking about. But on the other hand, recognize that there's a whole new system out there and we have to adjust to it.
I think that's an important point, that nationally we've seen admissions decline and the stay decline, which it has in fact created a restructuring of the whole system.
Scott, how do you see the fallout from what's going on with Care New England?
Well, frankly, I'm appalled at the lack of urgency from the governor, from the health director, and from the legislature, I might say. There are so many things happening here. Lifespans, insured census rate is down 5% this year. We're opening up for-profit urgent care centers where Medicaid people aren't going to. I can't believe the regulators in Massachusetts are going to allow this South Coast Care New England combination if Memorial's part of it. And this is a real change here in Boston and Massachusetts are eating our lunch. And what's happening is we're not going to have good care in Rhode Island if we don't seriously stand up and address these issues very quickly.
I will say on the for-profit emergency rooms, I share many of those concerns. And in fact, the Healthcare Advisory Council advised against the granting of those licenses because it
was a
license.
So the health director was wrong?
Because it was a license, a certificate of need, not a certificate of need process. None of those factors were considered. And in fact, we have legislation pending in both chambers that would change that process.
In other news, once again, lawmakers are debating whether Rhode Island should legalize marijuana. This comes as Massachusetts voters will decide in November whether the Bay State will move ahead with legalization. Maureen, what's your sense of whether the Senate and the House will back any more moves to prepare the state other than signing off on a non-binding referendum?
In my opinion, that's the most we can expect, if we can expect that. I think the idea is to go slow. I don't frankly buy the economic argument that we've got to rush to this because Massachusetts is doing it. It's not like we're building highways or infrastructure. If we decide that the voters want this and it's feasible and we know the benefits and costs, we pass laws and we legalize it and we garner the revenue. I don't think it's that complicated. And I think with the election coming up, I would be very surprised if anything more than a non-referendum ballot question goes ahead.
Madam President, is Maureen correct? Will the Senate do anything more than supporting a non-binding referendum on marijuana legalization this year?
I don't support a non-binding referendum. I think that I have pretty long history of not being one that's in favor of voter initiative. I do support that we take the first steps towards regulation. We've been working closely with the administration, a lot of people that are involved on this. As you know, I voted in favor of decriminalization. I voted in favor of the compassion centers. Not only voted, been a leader on both of those issues. However, I think we have a responsibility to ensure that we have a good regulatory process in place and a balanced discussion decided by the General Assembly on the merits as to whether or not we should legalize marijuana. Once again, I didn't say I was against the legal use of recreational marijuana. I'm looking at the pros and cons, but I don't think now is the time. I think we need to have a responsible discussion among legislators about how it's regulated. There's clearly problems right now in the industry and care growers. It's not a legal substance at the federal level. We know there are problems with pesticides and butane because of the lack of regulation in a lot of the marijuana people are getting.
Okay, let me hold you there because we want to get Scott in. Scott, my sources seem to think a non-binding referendum is as far as lawmakers will go this year. What's your read on the situation?
All I know is if Massachusetts passes this, Rhode Island will do it overnight. Two-thirds of the population is along the Massachusetts border in this state, and there's no way you could ever stop people from Newport from going to Fall River or from Bristol going to Seekonk. Absolutely not. Mass will get all the revenue, and once again, Rhode Island will be left behind as we always were.
I'm embarrassed that people are talking about this as revenue, and if you listen to the folks from Colorado, this should not be a revenue discussion, and they will show you their numbers on what needs to be invested in regulatory and infrastructure. This should be a discussion about a safe commercial product being added to the market. I believe that we have a responsibility far greater than just punting this. We have a responsibility right now to put a regulatory structure in place because I disagree with Scott. If the voters pass it in Massachusetts, it will take them a significant amount of time to get the necessary regulatory structure in place to be able to actually be able to handle the sales of marijuana in a recreational capacity.
We're super short on time here, but Senate President, we know you care about education performance in Rhode Island. Rhode Island spends a lot of money on education. The results are not so hot in Providence and other fiscally challenged cities. What is the answer for making public education in Rhode Island better?
Making it a priority. One of the things that
are lawmakers going in the wrong direction by standing against the growth of charter schools?
All charter schools are not created equal. I think that there are some very good charter schools that fulfill a unique niche. However, I have grave concerns about the mayoral academies, which simply create a parallel school system that compete with our traditional school districts. However, there are certain things that the Senate has championed, such as all-day kindergarten, where 88% of our children are now in all-day kindergarten. Why is that important versus charter schools? Because I know so many parents who, when they're making that first decision where to send their child to school, we're sending them to the charters where they stayed because the charters all had all-day kindergarten. Now they'll send them to traditional public schools. We have a responsibility to ensure that our traditional public schools are the best they can be, that charter schools exist in a responsible capacity to provide those unique niches in the education system and, in fact, what they were originally designed to do.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the president of the Rhode Island Senate, Teresa Piva-Weed.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.